believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Minnesota and started Merry Maids in 1979 out of his home. Today, Merry Maids is the largest home cleaning franchise network in the world, with 600 plus locations, and Merry Maids cleans more than 300,000 homes, apartments, and condos each month. His autobiography is entitled Rags, Riches, and Real Success. His name, Dallin Peterson. And I'm Jack Grasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Grasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're with the founder of Merry Maids, Dallin Peterson. Dallin, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to be with you.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Oh, my. Well, I have a twin brother who is 45 minutes older than me, and my twin brother and I are the oldest of nine children. I was born and raised on a farm in central Minnesota, about 100 miles west of the Twin City, and grew up there. And ended up going to high school, into a private school, actually, about 50 miles from home, and then went on to the University of Minnesota. So rather humble beginnings, I guess.
What were the biggest things, Dallin, that your mom taught you and your dad taught you?
Well, I think the biggest thing was that we had to work from as long as I remember. My mother was... what I would say, probably a nitpicker. we had to make our beds every day, and we cleaned the entire house virtually every day because we were a large family and a five-bedroom house, but it needed cleaning daily, she thought. My dad, of course, was being a farmer, was a hard worker, and he expected us kids to work right with him, of course, and so we did. So as long as I remember, I guess, we worked. Although we had a great time on the farm as well. We played a lot, too, I suppose. But I remember getting up early and coming home from school and doing chores. So it was, it was a typical farm family.
Out of school, Dallin, what were the first few jobs you had?
Well, I worked part-time when I was in college for a company called the Oliver Corporation, which is farm machinery. And then when I graduated from college, I spent 13 years with Fairmont Food Company based out of Omaha, Nebraska. And I started in the Twin Cities, actually in accounting, and then I ended up in plant management some 3 years afterwards, I guess. And I spent 13 years with Fairmont Foods, so I had some experience in corporate, what I call corporate life. And then after that, I got rather anxious, I guess, about corporate America, and so decided I was going to go into my own business. And from there, I went into the snack food business in Omaha, Nebraska.
Let's go back to 1979.
Yes.
And you start Merry Maids.
Yes, we did.
Why and how?
Well, I laughingly tell people sometimes hunger. We had sold our snack food company. I was a 50-50 partner in that. And we had sold that in late 1979. And I had some job offers in corporate America. One was a move to Houston, Texas. And we just had moved so much in our life, and we decided we wanted to stay in Omaha. And everything I read pointed to the service industry as an industry of the future. And so I thought, I'm going to take a look at the service industry. And my wife and I talked and prayed about what to do next, and we decided on the maid service. And ironically, I thought, well, if it works in Omaha, it can probably work elsewhere. And from day one, I really had the idea of franchising. However, I had no idea, of course, how long it would take and how it would work. But we did our first job in Omaha, Nebraska for $66. My wife and our two youngest children, I should say, worked with us. We spent 2 days there, and I realized that I had a lot to learn at that point.
Talk about the people who make up and do the work today for Merry Maids.
Well, the people obviously are the most important asset in I believe in any company, but particularly in the service industry, and certainly in Merry Maids. The people made the company. Actually, I was blessed with wonderful people from day one. Of course, our children were involved in the early days, and so they were a major factor in our success the first year or two. And then, of course, as we grew, we started franchising after, 6-7 months, something like that. And then our franchises became certainly our most important asset. And in my book, I say putting people first is critical, in, I think, in any business, but certainly, of course, in the service industry.
What have you learned through the years from these hundreds of thousands of people who give the reputation for Merry Maids?
The one thing I learned, and I actually learned it from a lady who was working for me when I was in the snack food business, but and also one of our early customers, I learned that your customers think that they're your only customer. And I remember getting a call one time from Betty Boko, and she called one morning and said, "Betty, or Mr. Peterson, this is Betty, and I want you to come and clean tomorrow," and she hung up. And I had to stop and think of how many Bettys do I know in the world, and how many Bettys did we have for customers. But in her mind, we were her only, or she was our only customer. And so I've learned a lot, I think, about customer relations through the Bettys of the world. You have to, in my opinion, have to exceed expectations of what, especially in the service industry, what the customer wants.
IBM calls it delighting the client. So we're talking to Dallin Peterson, founder of Merry Maids, which today clean more than 300,000 homes, apartments, and condos each month. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Dallin Peterson, who, him and his wife Glennis, and a couple of their children started this thing that ultimately became Merry Maids. Dallin, many people today, because of hunger, as you stated in the first segment, are thinking of starting a business on their own. What advice would you give them?
Well, I guess the first thing I think I would look at if I were to start another business, and at my age I'm not, but would be looking at demographics and looking at industries that would offer potential growth. And that's what I did back in 1979. I discovered that 48% of women were employed outside the home, growing at the rate of about 1% a year. And so that told me that there was a real need for a maid service. And so as a result of that, we decided to go into the maid service. And I guess that's what I would say to anybody who is interested in starting his own business. First of all, make sure you have the capital. But secondly, then, making sure you're in an industry that offers growth potential, I think, for the future, because there are many industries today, and I just point out maybe the fast food industry, for instance, is pretty saturated, and I guess I wouldn't advise most people to at least go into that unless it was purchasing a very, very successful franchise. But other than that, I think I would look at demographics. And today, in my opinion, one of the fastest growing segments of the population is the elderly. And certainly senior care is a hot item today. And I would suggest that looking at something like that would be what I would recommend to anybody who is considering going into their own business.
Many people that know you say that you are the epitome of a servant leader. What does a servant leader mean to you, Dellen Peterson?
Well, I hope that's true. I tried to live my life serving others. One thing I've learned, I guess, and that is that there's no greater joy in life than serving people. I guess people have said I like people, obviously, and serving people is the most gratifying thing I can think of. It's certainly much more gratifying than producing something that that can't respond to you, if you will. So we had a great relationship with franchise owners. Never had a lawsuit in all of the years that we had Merry Maids, and it was, I think, because of the relationships that we had between our home office staff, not just myself, but all of my people, and with our franchise owners. And so we had a great relationship, and I thank God that we did, I guess, but we had good people. That the other thing is, if we serve people and exceed what they expect, we're going to have good relationships. And I try to do that, certainly, with our company. Our success was only as good as the success of our franchise owners. And so it was very critical to me, at least, to maintain not only a good relationship, but make sure that we were offering them the services that they needed.
Dellen Peterson, you've been around thousands of entrepreneurs. What makes a great entrepreneur?
Oh, my. I think, first of all, an entrepreneur, at least the ones I've known over the years, and I've met a lot of them, they have vision for the future and see things probably that a lot of people don't see. And in my case, I guess, even my mother said, "Dellen, I can't understand why you're going into the maid service business. You've always been so successful." That was at Christmas of 1979. But in my opinion, it's really being a visionary person, that you can see things that others probably can't. And that's really, I suppose, where most entrepreneurs have come from. And this is how they start. You know, you start with that first customer or that first job.
Your book, your autobiography, Rags, Riches, and Real Success, the foreword is written by Chuck Colson.
Yes.
And one of the things he says is, handling success may sound easy, but many people have succeeded financially only to lose everything else that is infinitely more valuable, their marriages, families, friendships. For many people, in fact, they can handle adversity much better than they can success. You've been a shining example of learning to handle success. How have you done it?
Well, I hope that's true, and I guess it is. I've found that helping people, and that really I've spent the last 20 years since I've had more time, going into prison with Chuck Colson, for instance, my passion really is helping people, and particularly the most down and out would be an inmate today, a man or woman. And we've helped and assisted many, many inmates, and particularly their families, their spouses, because it's tough. And we have been blessed, certainly, and because of that, I feel strongly that I want to share our blessings with others. And so we have done that, I guess. And it's been a great, I've had a great life. And as Chuck said, I guess, we've given a lot of our not only our time, but also our financial resources to various ministries and nonprofits over the years.
You and Glennis have been involved with prison ministry for 35 years. Where did you get your compassion for the downtrodden, and why prison ministry?
Well, I didn't plan to do that. I came across a young man who was trying to date my oldest daughter, actually, and I didn't realize it, but he was doing burglaries in our home, in our neighborhood, actually, and he ended up in prison. And I found out that he was in prison. He wrote to me, in fact, and so I went to visit him, and while he was in prison, and that struck up a relationship. And as a result of that, I started to visit him on a regular basis, as did my wife. And I then started a weekly Bible study, since there was really nothing going on in the prison spiritually. And so I did that for quite a number of years in Nebraska, at the Nebraska Penitentiary. So it was something I didn't plan to do, but it's something that happened. And we had been involved with young people, and particularly people who were without parents and without homes. We had a ministry in our own home. We had some, I guess, 30, 35 different young people that lived with us for periods of time, along with our family. And so I can't really say how it all happened, but it did. And I guess I've always had a concern and a care for people, and for especially those who have needs, as such as those people did.
A lot of us listening tonight have to be saying, wait a minute, here's this young man dating your daughter. You find out he's got burglaries. Who knows what else he's doing? And instead of shooting him, you go and minister to him in prison.
Right.
Why?
we cared. I mean, by the time before he went to prison, he'd hang around our house with our kids, and I really loved the guy, and I knew that he was having problems with drugs and things, and so. But we didn't shun him. We invited him into our home. And so as a result of that, when he ended up in prison, of course, we were the ones who he sought help from, I suppose. And so that's how it happened. We just cared deeply for him. And so as a result of that, we couldn't just let him. After he wrote to me, I knew I had to go and visit him immediately, which I did. And that was the beginning of a long relationship, actually, many years, and that's how I ended up in prison ministry.
Anything is possible.
Anything's possible.
We're with Dallin Peterson, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WGAI.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Dallin Peterson, who's been on the board of Prison Fellowship since 1974, and Prison Fellowship was started by Chuck Colson. Talk to us, Dallin, about Chuck Colson.
Oh, my. Well, number one, he's one of my very closest friends, and I consider him, and I consider that a real blessing. Chuck is an incredible man. I know anyone who has a greater intellect than Chuck Colson. He is so bright. I've often teased him. I said, I don't know, how did we become such close friends? Because you're such an intellect, and I don't feel that I am. But Chuck is has a, of course, a worldwide ministry today, and I think Prison Fellowship is chartered in probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 120 countries. When Chuck went to prison, of course, it changed his life. Obviously, when he came out, and as you've probably read or heard, he just couldn't get prisoners out of his mind, and so as a result of that, you know, the Lord touched him and said, go back, and that's what he's done faithfully for now, way over 30 years. And so I first met Chuck in 78, and I, as a result of my prison ministry, why we got together. No, it was earlier than 78. I'm sorry. It was probably 1975. No, wait a minute. I'm getting old. I can't remember all these things. 1974 is when I met Chuck. And he spoke at a mayor's prayer breakfast in Omaha, Nebraska. And it was at the time when I was doing conducting Bible studies in Lincoln, Nebraska. And so after he spoke, it was a packed house because this was shortly after Watergate. And everybody was intrigued by Colson, as was I. I wanted to see if this guy was real. And so after he spoke, I went up and talked to him and introduced myself and said I was interested in prison ministry. In fact, I was doing Bible studies. And so that was the first time we ever met. We really didn't get together, however, for a number or a couple of years after that. And then at that point, my ministry, our Bible study ministry, and the prison fellowship got together. And we hired an area director for prison fellowship in Nebraska. And since then, of course, a lot's happened. And I've spent a lot of time with Chuck Colson in prison since then.
You've spent 26 Easter Sunday mornings in prison.
Yes.
Why?
Well, once you go, quite frankly, Jack, you want to go back every year. My family realizes that I'm not going to be home for Easter Sunday or on Easter Sunday anymore, and I haven't been for the last 26, maybe 27 years. I can't remember for sure, but it's an incredible time that we have. Chuck typically has the message, and we mingle, of course, with the men or women. We've been in both men and women's prisons all around the country, and we just have a wonderful Easter service. Something that's totally unlike any traditional service that you would find in a traditional church, but it's just a wonderful spiritual experience, and I look forward to it every year. I wouldn't miss it for anything.
You've been around thousands of prisoners, Dallin Peterson.
I have, yeah.
What have these prisoners taught you?
Oh, my, a lot. One thing that I think that I really come to learn, and that is so often these people have come from broken homes. I would guess that half the inmates probably were raised without a father. And the one thing that I've learned, I guess, more than anything from inmates, and that is that they see phoniness very quickly. And if you're not totally straight with them, they pick up on that right away, I think. I've seen that with volunteers sometimes and that go into prison. Inmates are very, very perceptive of people on the outside. And much more so, I believe, than the average layperson out here. They have a quick feel, I think, of what people, if people are sincere when they're coming in. And that's one thing I've learned, I think, from inmates.
You and your wife, Glennis, have taken ex-prisoners into your own home and let them live with you.
Yes, we have.
Most people would say that's crazy. That's suicide. Okay? Why?
Well, the one thing I've learned, though, Jack, that by the grace of God, they're no different than you and I. Yeah, they were misguided sometimes, but I often think, you know, you could be my son or my grandson, but by the grace of God, and they're people just like we are, you know, there's no difference. Yes, their backgrounds are different, their education level is oftentimes, you know, much different, but they're human beings, and they have needs and wants and desires that are no different from anybody else. And so as a result of that, it's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And we've been so blessed by so many inmates that we've had in our homes and their families over the years. And, you know, we've made lifelong members or friendships with inmates that, you know, we cherish to this day.
I've had the honor of being around Chuck Colson and having him on the show in the past. And one thing he's told me is that other than the Jewish carpenter from Nazareth, arguably the three greatest men of faith in history would be David, Moses, and St. Paul. And they have one other thing in common. They were all murderers.
Yes.
How do you explain that?
Oh, my. Well, the only way I can explain that is, you know, scripturally, God forgives sin. And I've often said, you know, if God can forgive you, then who am I not to? And it's pretty clear in Scripture, I think, that we are to forgive. And I realize that murder is a terrible thing. But at the same time, I believe that God does forgive any sin. And, you know, the sin of murder is, in God's eyes, really, I guess, no different than a lie or cheating. And so once a person has asked for forgiveness through Christ, why, you know, you are forgiven. And obviously, many murderers, of course, have paid the ultimate price with their life. You know, they've been condemned to death. I was in Angola here a few years back, and we were with the warden, and he said that he had released 79 inmates since he had been there in 7 years, and he had buried 81 inmates. So he had buried more inmates than he had released. Angola, you know, is probably one of the worst and you know, worst prisons in the world. And people just are, they go there for life. They're never released for the most part.
Another part of the foreword of the book that Chuck Colson wrote says this: what impresses me most about Dallin and his wonderful wife, Glennis, who keeps him in line, much the way Patty does me,
yes,
is not what they did to make a big pile of money. Lots of people do that. What impresses me most is what they did when they made their money. And I'm Jack Krasulin, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Dallin Peterson, whose autobiography is entitled Rags, Riches, and Real Success. Why the title, Dallin?
Well, I will say that when I came up with the title, it was really as a lark, and I was shocked when the publisher decided to keep it. I didn't really expect that the publisher was going to keep the title Rags, Riches, and Real Success. The rags obviously was because we were in the cleaning business, but the riches, in my opinion, had nothing to do with money, although financially we were very blessed. But the riches to me is the life that I have been very blessed to have and fortunate to have had, and that's really what I meant by rags, riches, and real success. Real success has nothing to do, in my opinion, financially, although in business, of course, you need to make a profit or you don't stay in business, obviously. But the satisfaction of having and being in the right business and then having the gratification of seeing others succeed along with you, which is what we experienced at Merry Maids, that is really what I was meaning when we came up with the title Rags, Riches, and Real Success.
Part one is 12 chapters about your story, and then part two is the seven principles of real success, and one of them is to embrace pain, and another one, celebrate change. And we're in the midst of uncertainty, unlike haven't seen in decades. Tough times ahead.
Yes.
What advice do you give to our listeners tonight in this time of uncertainty?
Well, sometimes, and I've often said, I think I learned more from my failures. I almost went bankrupt one time in business before Merry Maids, however. And, you know, I learned more, I think, from that experience than I did maybe the success that we had at Merry Maids. I think sometimes we need to embrace pain, because that's when we really look at our inner self as well. And also we look at what we're really accomplishing and doing. Certainly, we're in America today, we're experiencing pain, financial pain, economic pain, obviously. An awful lot of people are very uncertain, you know, where, if they're even going to continue being employed. So as a result of that, we have to look at, okay, what are we doing? What are we spending? Economically today, an awful lot of people have been living off of credit cards, I think, or overextending. And my advice to those people would be, now it's time to pull in, pull back, you know. Only spend what you're making. Don't exceed your credit limits, and don't even get to your credit limits. But pay everything off as quickly as you can today, and that's just an example, I think, of embracing pain that I think is important in life.
Anyone that's listened to you tonight has got to be saying, "This man has true inner peace. How do I get that?"
Well, for me, it was when I became a Christian. When I, way back in 1969, I believe it was, when my wife and I committed our lives to the Lord. And as a result of that, it changed our lives. Not everything changed right away, of course. But as a result of that, I've had a peace that, as the Bible says, passes all understanding. And I just thank God that I found him when I did, when I was in my 30s, I guess. And as a result of that, it's been a wonderful life, not without hardship, not without trials and tribulations, but certainly I know where I am, I know where I'm going, and to me that's the greatest peace, and especially as I know I'm, you know, in my 70s, I'm past 70.
Our mutual friend Mike Timmis talks about that for most people, their relationship with God is between the spare tire in the trunk and the steering wheel. And when something goes wrong, we get in that trunk, we get that tire out, save me, and I promise this and this and this, goes back in the trunk. And for a few people, you being one, he's the steering wheel of our life.
Absolutely. Yeah,
How do listeners get toward that steering wheel concept?
Well, I think several ways probably. Number one, you know, you have to read the book. You have to read the Bible in order to really know the direction for our lives. Number two, I think you have to participate in a church or in worship somewhere. We can't do it alone, certainly. And then number three, I think we have to serve others and give back, you know, as we're called to do. And those are probably the three most important things, at least, have been in my life.
Somebody asked me the other day, "Jack, you've been doing this show for 4 years. What one question have you asked the most?" And I thought about it, and I said, I think it's been, how do you learn to surrender to God? Because that's been, you know, a huge struggle for me. You've surrendered to God. How do we do it?
Well, for me, it was a matter of experiencing through our church. I went into the Kennedy Evangelism Program, and I realized that I had been a church member all my life and gone to church, but I really didn't know and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was back in 1969 when I made that decision. And since then, of course, it's been wonderful.
I had a man on a week ago, Alonzo McDonald. Greatest resume I've ever seen in my life. Produced the Jackie Robinson radio show, chief of staff for Jimmy Carter, managing partner worldwide of McKinsey. And he's written many readings. One of his latest is called Finishing Well, that it's most important in the last quarter of your life to finish well. How are you doing that?
I'm sorry, how do you do it?
How do you do it, yes.
Why? Well, for me, it's continuing, I think, doing what I've done for so much of my life. And I, you know, I guess I feel if I were to die tonight, I've finished well. I just thank God that I've had the opportunities that I have. And I wouldn't change a thing, I guess. And I'm very, very content and very happy and where I am, and I'm just, I have a piece that I guess you can only have as a Christian.
You and Glennis have given back your whole lives. A lot of people today are listening and they're saying, we know we should, but we're 40 years old, we're trying to just keep the roof over our heads, the kids' education. We'll give back, you know, when we're 60, 70. What do you say to them?
Oh, my. I'd say try and I would start giving back as soon as you can, because it, whatever you give, the Lord will multiply. And that's been my experience. And we started giving when we were young, in our 30s, I guess. And the Lord's never failed us. And so my advice would be, yes, continue to give. But start when you're young. Don't wait till you're 65 or 70. That may be too late.
Last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners this evening?
Oh, my. Well, I have 5 children. And I guess one of the things that I've advised them, and that is that, number one, serve the Lord. Number two, work and get an education as a young person. Certainly in this day and age, education is everything. And it's critical, I think, if you're going to do anything in life, you have to have an education. And so work hard and listen to your parents, read the Bible, and you'll do well.
Dallin Peterson, what a phenomenal life. It's an honor to have you. Thanks for sharing.
Well, thank you very much, Jack. It's been my pleasure.
Our guest next Sunday will be another great person, America's greatest marathon runner of all time, Bill Rogers. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Let's go home.